Acts chapter 15, would you go there with me? Acts chapter 15. Last week, we looked at how to handle, wasn't conflict, godly compromise, we called it, godly compromise. And it came from the issue that had arisen about some false doctrine that was being taught. They had what they called the Jerusalem Council. They all came together in Jerusalem, and they calmly, prayerfully, truthfully with Scripture, they came to a resolution about some of the things that were being said. And they sent a letter to the Gentiles about what they thought about these things, and it was a godly compromise. And as a result of that, man, the church was happy. They were glad. The Gentile believers and the Jewish believers were one in Christ. Paul and Barnabas went back up from Jerusalem north to Antioch, which is in modern-day Syria today. They went up there back to the sending church, that strong church in Antioch, and they began to do ministry once again. And then something happened. A conflict arose among brothers. Wow, so we had godly compromise that just took place, and now all of a sudden we have a conflict. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. So take your Bibles and let's stand together. Acts 15, verses 36 through 41. And we're going to see what the Scripture says about real conflict among Christians, among brothers. And the Bible really doesn't give us a resolution in the sense that that there's a guide here on how to solve it. It doesn't talk about that in this passage. So we're going to see the reality of conflict and what eventually did take place. So Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, John Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. In chapter 13, you can read about that. They had such a sharp disagreement. The word disagreement means contention and conflict. A sharp disagreement. Now look, that they had a split. They parted company. Splits have been going on among the body of Christ since the first century, y'all. It's not new. But this one's a little unique, and we'll look at it. They parted company. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. So they're going back on the second missionary journey to the places they had first gone to encourage the believers. But Paul chose Silas, and he left. Now they were commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So as of here, we see this conflict arose. There was a split that took place, and they went their separate ways. And both of them were commended by the church at Antioch and basically sent out. Now, we're going to see later in the book of Acts how this all worked out. But we don't see much of that right here. So what I want us to look at today is conflict that does develop among brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and this is not an easy subject to broach. We want to talk about peace and joy and happiness. And I would venture to say that those of us who love you and love peace, conflict not only scares us, but it drives us away. It's not something any of us want to deal with, but it does happen. And help us to see the reality of it, what good can come from it. And in a way, as we go throughout the rest of this book in Acts, we can see how it can be worked through. We thank you, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Some observations that I made based on this passage. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Brotherly conflict, conflict among brothers, occurs oftentimes after great victories. It occurs oftentimes after great victories. There was a very contentious and difficult situation that arose over false doctrine. Believers had to gather together in Jerusalem. They had to have a council. They had to have a meeting. They had to have a conference to work through the problem. They came to a conclusion. They had a godly compromise. And it says in verses 30 through 35, now we read that last week, but it says here, so the men were sent off and went to Antioch, where they gathered the church together, delivered the letter. The people read it and were glad for its encouraging message. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. After spending some time there, they were sent off by the believers with the blessing of peace to return to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch. There they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. There was a spirit of spiritual togetherness, euphoria, focus back on the task of preaching the gospel. The church was being the church. They were not having difficulty. They were not dealing with these difficult doctrinal disagreements. They had a compromise reached, and they went back to doing life the way they were used to doing. They had a victory. They had a situation that could have created this massive split, but it didn't happen. And they came to a consensus. They came to a peaceful resolution, and they got back to the business of being the church. So they had this amazing victory, this euphoric time where they went back to doing it. I can imagine that maybe the believers, those early leaders, you know, when they got back to Antioch and they went, I'm glad that's over. Maybe they took a nap, you know, and they rested and they got their minds refreshed, and then they were like, oh, the sun is shining again. Let's go back and start doing the work. We know that our enemy is not within. The enemy's on the outside. And we've got people we need to reach for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there was this unbelievable sense of victory. So keep this in mind. Right on the heels of victory came another conflict. But this time, it was more personal. It wasn't about doctrine. It was personal, and we're gonna see that here in just a moment. So conflict can occur after great victories. How does that apply to your life, in my life? Be on guard to some extent when you go through a moment in your life where you experience a great triumph or a great victory. The enemy is not happy with that. He's not happy that you've got peace among brothers. He's not satisfied with the spiritual status quo in that way. He wants to create chaos and create all kinds of problems. So be on guard after a victory, because it occurs then. The second thing I want you to see is this. Brotherly conflict occurs at times when making great plans with visions of doing something good for God. Brotherly conflict occurs when making great plans with visions of doing something good for God. Look at verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, I mean, here they were. They were back in Antioch. They were preaching the gospel. They were teaching the word of the Lord. Life was good in the church. There was peace among the brethren. We don't know how long it was. It might have been several months. It could have been a year. It was a fairly lengthy period of time where they had this amazing peace. And they had a sense within them that, okay, now we've got to do something. We've got to do something good. So they said, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they were doing. In other words, let us go back to where churches were started in all of those places. Let's give them a word about you know, what happened in the conflict or in the disagreement, the doctrinal disagreement. Let's encourage them to go on with God. We know that they're in some very difficult cultural situations that they're living through. And let's help them. Let's go and see what's going on, and let's go disciple them and develop them. So this was this great visionary plan. We're going to go back on this trip, and let's go do it. So conflict can occur, and it often occurs at this point when making great plans with visions of doing something good. Sometimes it happens like this. You're together, and you come up with a plan, and in that plan, it's a no-brainer. How can anybody oppose this? How can anybody poke holes in this vision, in this plan? And yet, it's really not someone from outside that's poking holes in it. Sometimes what happens when great plans, for good reasons, are talked about, they're made, people have different opinions, they have different focuses, they get their own agenda, they begin to feel like, you know, somebody's treading on in their territory. It happens with people. So here they came up with this idea, we're going to go do something good. And a conflict arose. I want you to notice the third thing. This kind of conflict occurs when there is sharp disagreement over people. Over people. Look at what happened here. There wasn't a conflict as to whether or not they should go do this. The conflict was, who's going to do it? Isn't that something? I remember my first church I was pastor of. We were a little small, very small country church, and we had grown. And we needed to move forward on a worship leader of some kind. The people that were leading the worship were doing the best that they could, but I think everybody was in agreement. Everybody thought it was a great idea. Let's move forward with a worship leader. Let's find a worship leader. But here's the problem. In my time as a pastor there, I stayed 2 years. We never found a worship leader as a result of that meeting because no one could ever agree on the person. We brought in several people. This one liked them, this one didn't. And it was always a conflict, and it had to do with personality. Nobody was against the plan, they were against the person. And that's where the rub is. It usually happens with people. I see it all the time in church. Hey, we all are in agreement. We need a children's director. And then, now this didn't happen to us this time, but then all of a sudden there's a sharp disagreement. Oh, I don't like this person. And you're like, well, why? And usually the person against it is the one who had something personal happen with that person. And that's exactly what happened here. The greatest Christian to ever live other than Jesus himself is the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul had some hang-ups. And I'm not saying that some of these weren't warranted. They were. The Apostle Paul was a no-nonsense kind of cat. And in a way, he expected those who were serving with him to have the same passion and desire and maturity level that he had to some extent. Barnabas, on the other hand, he was more of an encourager. Paul was the guy who would say, let's do. Barnabas would look at somebody and say, look, I think I see what they can be. He was called the son of encouragement. And so Barnabas saw that Mark wasn't trash because he bailed and he flaked out on the first missionary journey. Obviously, Paul saw it as him abandoning them and him not being strong enough or mature enough in Christ. And Paul didn't want to have anything to do with Mark at this point. But Barnabas saw something in Mark and he saw what he could be. Could it be that both of them were right? I can't blame Paul. Man, you're going on a missionary journey. Now, just think about this. Now, this isn't modern-day traveling times. I mean, you're traveling by sailboat. You're traveling on foot. You're traveling, you know, on a camel maybe. I don't know. Or on a donkey. You're moving around. And man, if he might want to go home to mama in the middle of that, I'm not taking him to begin with. And he's already proven to me that he's not trustworthy enough to go. So I don't blame Paul. On the other side, you had Barnabas over here. Barnabas is like, look, man, he was young. You said, well, it doesn't say that in Scripture. He's the son of encouragement. I'm telling you, I believe that Barnabas probably, he saw something. He said, look, Paul, yes, he's young, and he's learned from that. And I think we can trust him, and let's give him a shot. Let's build him up. Let's strengthen him. I don't think Barnabas was wrong either. So there was this sharp disagreement, and it usually happens over people. Number four, brotherly conflict can separate friends and divide brothers. Look what happened here. They had a sharp disagreement and they parted company. Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. We have the benefit of history now, of this unbelievable amount of hindsight. Okay? The end of chapter 15, they don't have that. They haven't lived it yet. But I got chapter 16 and 17 and 18, and I've got all the Word of God, and I can see how it all turned out. And I'm going to point that out in just a moment. But they didn't. I believe what the Bible says. It says they had a sharp disagreement. It was contentious. I'm not saying that it was ungodly, but it was real. And they disagreed. And they disagreed on the person, not the plan, not the idea of what they were going to go do, but on the person as to who was going to go with them, who was coming. And sometimes conflict among Christians can be to a point where it causes a division. I mean, I'm not reading into the text. I'm just seeing exactly what I see. Two of the greatest men who ever walked the face of the earth who lived for Jesus, Paul and Barnabas, had a serious conflict over a person. And they parted ways. I mean, this was the dream team of missionary teams. Paul, the great learned one, the Pharisee who at one time was dragging Christians to their death, who was there when Stephen was stoned to death, the first Christian martyr. Here was Barnabas, this sweet, encouraging, believe the best out of everybody kind of people. I believe in who you can be. I mean, this was the perfect combination. Why would God allow that to happen? Why would there be a separation? Could it be that it's possible that sometimes in Christian conflict, maybe for a while, people can't get along or they can't work together and it's okay to separate? I'm not talking about marriage here. And I'm not advising that that's always good. As a matter of fact, you've heard me preach all these years about peace. Love covers a multitude of sins. I think it shows our spiritual maturity on how little it takes for people to break fellowship with each other. I think it shows that immaturity at the highest levels, and I think the church all across America is rife with that kind of immaturity. But these were two very mature people who had a situation. And it was in the first century. It's ugly. It's not pretty. It's not ideal. But it can happen. And it separated them for a little while in some ways, at least on the ministry side. I want you to notice something else. I got 6 points here, so I'm going through them quick. Number five, ministry doesn't come to a halt when brothers are in conflict. Ministry doesn't come to a halt, perhaps, when there is a conflict and there is a separation of some kind. The world doesn't come to an end. The church doesn't stop because two people got into it at church and they couldn't get along and one of them left the church. I would advocate that the church has got to keep on going, and I would advocate that the one who left had better find a place where they can use their gift and serve, or else they're going to be out of God's will and out of balance in their life. And I've come to the conclusion after being a pastor for almost 40 years and being in the same church for 29 years just about, that I've seen it with my own eyes, that there comes a time that a conflict arises and nobody likes it and nobody wants to go through it, but people leave. And then months and years later, you find that they are involved in a place like they never were involved here. They are growing in leaps and bounds like they never would have here for whatever reasons. Nobody's fault. It just didn't. It wasn't right. And it worked out for everybody. It's not the end of the world. That's one of the greatest things to help me as a pastor. Now, I will say this. I'm not going to lie to you, and I'm not going to get up here and make it all sound rosy and say, oh, pastor's saying that he likes conflict, and why don't you leave, and we'll all have a kingdom mindset. No, that's not how it always works. It hurts, man, when there's a conflict and you can't work it out. And sometimes in this life, you'll never know why. And sometimes sin is at the root of it. And sometimes, I mean, nothing indicates here that Paul was sinful, and nothing indicates here that Barnabas was sinful. But the one thing that I see is that they didn't let it stop. When I've had people close to me leave and walk out of my life, it's been crippling emotionally, spiritually, physically, and it's nearly caused me to leave the ministry. That would have been wrong. And it would be wrong for them not to stay in the ministry in some way or some fashion also. So it doesn't come to a halt when brothers are in conflict. We've got to keep at it and keep going. Number six, let me give you the final thing. I want to wrap it all up and put it together and put it in a nice package and a bow and send you off. Verse six, or number six. Ultimately, this is a wordy point, but ultimately God used the conflict to create two missionary teams. Perhaps, maybe Paul and Barnabas, without this conflict, would have never seeing the need to create two missionary teams. So God used the conflict to create two missionary teams. The gospel was not hindered, and they all ended up working toward the same cause. And they were in fellowship with each other as time went on. Nothing indicates here that they got out of fellowship. See, that's the difference between a lot of conflict and what we see here. Paul was not going to work with Mark. He just wasn't. Barnabas, on the other hand, he saw something in Mark that was worthy of redeeming, and that he could be an asset to the gospel going forward. And it was contentious. I can imagine that it was probably personal between Paul and Barnabas to some extent. Paul may have felt hurt that Barnabas didn't respect his opinion enough, and maybe the other way around too. But for whatever reason, they didn't allow it to poison the well, and they agreed to go on the missionary journeys with their own separate teams. Paul took Silas, and we'll learn more about Silas as we go forward. Chapter 16 is a beautiful, beautiful story of Paul and Silas. It doesn't seem to be that they were sinful. It doesn't seem to be that they talked about each other. They tried to trash each other on the other side. Don't you people, hey, Mark's going to come visit you. Barnabas and Mark are going to come visit you. Don't listen to them. Listen to me. That wasn't the case at all. It had nothing to do with that. Look at what Colossians chapter 4, verse 10 says, where Paul talks about Mark. He includes him. He says, my fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. See, that's the other reason I think Barnabas, notice, blood thicker than water sometimes, as the old saying says. And Barnabas was closer to Mark because he was his cousin. I side with Paul to some extent in one way to say, you know, your judgment is blinded. Leave that scripture out. Your judgment is blinded because he's your family. I've said that to people before. But at the same time, I side with Barnabas. Because obviously Barnabas was godly enough to see something. So go back to that passage of Scripture. Put that back up. So my fellow prisoner, Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instruction about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Paul is saying that about Mark, who wasn't welcome with him to go on the missionary journey. But this is some time later, okay? Look at another passage in 2 Timothy 4:11. Paul says, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. What? He is helpful to me in my ministry. You see, here's the thing. We're looking at brothers who are in conflict. And we got to be careful that we don't look at it in the same way that some of the nasty conflicts that we know take place and put the two together, because this wasn't the same kind of conflict. Was it serious? Was it contentious? Were they dug in their point of view? Absolutely. But they were deep, mature Christians who did not allow personality to ultimately get in their way of God doing some things. So basically, they were both right. Paul was not ready to have Mark with him, and probably Mark's growth would have been stunted around Paul. Paul was just too much for him. So something happened when Mark joined Barnabas, and they got together, and all of a sudden, we see later in Paul's writings that Mark was this blessing to him. He ministered to me. So that tells you something about Paul. Paul was open, as time went on, to the redemption story of Mark. And Barnabas just did what he did. He just encouraged, he helped, he loved on him, and God used it. And in the end, they were all on the same team, all serving together in their own capacity, and encouraging each other. And as Paul got to the end of his life, he wanted Mark with him at the very end of his life, because Mark was an encouragement to him in ministry. So sometimes we come up with these great godly plans that God wants to use. Conflict arises because of who might be involved in that. And here's the nuance. Here's where we have to be spiritually adept, spiritually strong. We have to go with it. and be okay with it. And trust that God has His perfect timing on in circumstances and on situations. The worst thing you and I can do in a conflict with a brother is to burn that bridge down with that brother or sister. All-out spiritual nuclear war. Why do we do that? Why? As difficult as what our church went through in 2004 was, and as difficult as it was for me personally and Penny personally, and a lot of you personally who were there who went through it, or some of you who went through it, the Bible says, live at peace with all men as much as depends on you. Now, it wasn't as cordial as this. It was nasty. But I always said, God, these are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And because I'm a pastor, I don't know, maybe that's what saved me in this situation. It's hard to trash people you love. And so I always felt, even people who said the most horrible things about me, that I was their pastor, and one day, Lord willing, I'll have a chance to minister to them again if I don't burn the bridge down behind us. You say, well, what if they burnt the bridge down? Well, my way's still open, so they can come on my way if they want to. And to my knowledge, all but one out of the folks that we were in leadership with, that the conflict happened with, we're all on speaking terms, and we've had been for years. As a matter of fact, I've ministered to their children as a chaplain. They're a football team. They went, some of them, to a church and served, and Lord worked it all out. Been there with them in the hospital when tragedy struck. They felt so comfortable with us that when they had a need and maybe a loved one passed and they needed to use our facility, we were right there with them, saying, yes, we love you. You're welcome here. And in some regard, in some situations, when maybe it was a little different kind of conflict and people went their separate ways or what have you, some have come back. So I think what we can learn from this conflict here is that though it was personal in the sense that it had that the center of the controversy was a person, Paul didn't trash Mark, he just didn't trust him. You know, it's okay for you not to trust somebody, right? It's okay. Not everybody in your life should have the highest clearances of trust in your heart. Not everybody. But you don't see Paul trashing him. You don't see Barnabas trashing Paul and calling him an old geezer or, you know, an insensitive. No, you don't see that at all. Actually, the solution was, all right, we're in disagreement. You go with Mark, I've got Silas. And they went. And throughout all of Scripture in the New Testament, never once do we have an indication that these two, Paul and Barnabas, had ill will toward each other, were in competition with each other, and were working against each other. Never. They were working together. Cameron, this is just me thinking. I have no idea. It's not in Scripture, so I don't know. I wonder along the way in that missionary journey if they didn't just cross paths at some point and had a bonfire and ate fried fish together that we just don't know about. Sounds good to me, right? And that's probably what happened. But brotherly conflict does happen. What's important is that you and I, we don't have to give up our convictions to find resolution. We can find godly compromise like we saw last week. And sometimes God just says, you know what? This is not going to work for right now. And we'll create two teams. And we'll make it work that way. It just happens. And it's all right. Don't let the world tell you, well, I'm never going to church because I know that church had conflict. Two of the greatest Christians ever lived had conflict between them over who was going to be the missionary on the trip. You know, we've had to make those decisions here. We've had to tell certain people, you can't come on this mission trip. For various reasons. Now you say, well, where was Barnabas that took him with another group? Oh, we didn't allow that. No, actually, we did. And I won't go into the details, but we actually did. I took a group. Without saying any more, somebody's like, is it me, Pastor, that y'all didn't allow to go on the previous trip? And so you took the B team? No, that's not what we're saying. Some of those trips, people wanted to go, and we said, you can't. You physically, you can't do it. You can't. You won't make it. You're going to be a ball and chain to the group. It's a younger group that's got to go. You can't. But we do have a trip that you can go on. That us geriatric people can go on. Nice air conditioning. Nice bed. You're not sleeping on a roof of a building. On a hard cement roof. I mean. But it all works for God's glory. And I guess the ultimate thing that I see here is, it matters how you handle conflict. It does. It matters. Let me ask you this. You ever had conflict with a person? Well, you hadn't seen them for 2 years. Man, you're tired. You've had a rough week. You're just trying to get some grub for you and your family. Go into Publix. And you come right around the corner, and there's the person. You can't go anywhere, and they can't go anywhere. You have to acknowledge each other. What an awful, awkward situation. However, if you do your best to live at peace with all people and you don't burn bridges and you try to handle it godly, you come around the corner, yes, you may not have spoken for 2 years, and you go around the corner and you see that person, you don't have to feel embarrassed or shy away. You can look at them straight in the eye and talk to them. So there's a way. But ultimately, I guess Christians need to understand we're on the same team, y'all. True Christians are on the same team. Conflict among brothers. Ugh. I'm going to burn that title because I hate conflict. And I hate it when it's mentioned with brothers and sisters in Christ. But it does happen. When it happens, it's not the end of the world. How we deal with it, how we respond, and how we treat other people reveals our maturity level and whether or not God can really use us. And that's important. Let's stand together, everybody. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word. And we're looking at these brothers who were human beings. They were not super saints. Yes, Paul was an apostle. You called them for a specific task to take the gospel to the Gentiles. You appointed him for martyrdom. And yes, there was strong disagreement. But Father, I think everything that we can see as we look at all of Scripture and all of the New Testament, we see nothing but brotherly love in spite of the conflict. May that be said of us, as your word says, to cover each other's sins with love, meaning that we don't overlook sin, but in spite of the sin, we don't cancel other people out. We're going to love them. We're going to encourage them. Maybe that's our ministry. Maybe it's someone else's ministry. So, Father, we thank you for your presence here in this place today. I don't know how you have used this message to speak to anyone's life, but, Father, I prayed if there's conflict in someone's heart and life, have they followed the Scripture that says to live at peace with all men as much as depends on them. May forgiveness be given. May we not be super wise in our own opinions and respect and value the opinions of others when it comes to maybe their view of someone else's qualifications or lack thereof. These are hard things to understand, but Father, we know that we have your grace, your Spirit to guide us into all truth. May there be a spirit of love, forgiveness, cooperation in Christ, in biblical orthodoxy, so that we can have the maximum impact with our church and our lives. And I prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.